Right.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode 10 with Emily and Sarah. We are so blessed to have you guys here. What a privilege just to join in, and just thanks for watching the podcast. We're just happy to be here.
Yeah,
we're happy to record, happy to be alive, regardless of life's tribulations, trials, but we're still here.
Yeah.
We're still showing up.
Yeah. I think doing things for the Lord when you don't feel like it is...
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are much harder things to be doing.
Yeah.
Mission field work that are much more intense. Yeah. However, the enemy still fights back when it's the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's okay. He can stay mad.
Speaking of the enemy, this is our second time filming this specific episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First time for LOL moment, we literally filmed the entire video and checked it after. It was, the whole thing was filmed in 4x slow motion.
With no audio.
Don't know how I got there.
It was so painful to realize that, and I tried to fix it. I tried to, like, do all the editing, all the adjustments. Working.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
It's happening anyway, so.
And apologies if you hear a dog in the background. That is indeed a dog. It is my dog, and he is having a conniption because he's having a little social anxiety, separation anxiety, because we're filming without him. But he's gonna get over it. It's just gonna happen that. So what are we talking about? So actually, before we start today's episode, just need to add a little comedy, just keeping it real with y'all. Two things I did yesterday. I haven't told you these.
That should be good.
Two things I did yesterday that's just going to make all of us laugh and just tell you I'm human. Okay, first, I was leaving the gym and I needed gas desperately. It was desperate. We were running, not quite on fumes, but we were getting close. I just kept putting it off, and it happened to be the right time. I was passing the gas station.
I'm sorry, I cannot lock it. Your kid screaming.
Okay, sorry. So, I pull into the gas station, the first one doesn't work, so I'm like, oh, this sucks. So, I have to pull around to another one. Well, the gas station's already busy, so I'm like trying to maneuver around cars until like 5 o'clock traffic. And I go, and this is not my usual gas station. I have a go-to, Creature of Habit, and I go to reach, first of all, I get out of the car, and I forget to, like, open my gas pump, I mean, my
gas cap.
I forget to open that, so I'm like, have to go back in the car, open that. So we go out, and for some reason, there's a green handle, which is diesel.
Okay. Oh, I did hear about this.
And there's, okay, yes. And then there's a purple handle, which is the normal gas. And for some reason, I just gravitated towards the green handle. And so I put the green handle in the car, and I, like, only one little clicker is lighting up. I'm like, why isn't the regular gas? I'm like, oh, I gasped. I was like, oh my gosh, I almost just put diesel in my car. Almost had to buy a new vehicular. And I was almost devastated. And I realized, because I knew there was someone in front of me, like, watching. It was like a lady waiting for her husband to get back on the car, and she watched the whole thing go down. I was like, she just got a show. Anyway, so that was the first thing that happened. The second thing, it was a day. I was giving my dog, so I trim, like, my dog weighs like 10 pounds. I just go ahead and cut her hair because she's a drama queen, and taking her to the vet just to get, like, 2 inches of hair cut for $50 hurts my soul. So I do it at home, and I started the bath water and put the drain plug up to get the bath started while I, like, you know, just, like, dry cut, or give her a dry cut, start trimming her. Well, like, 10 minutes have gone, okay, it was probably longer than that, because I look back, and the bath water is overflowing at the bathtub. And I'm like, you know that meme on Instagram where the old lady's like freaking out? That was me. And Stella, our dog, is on the counter, and I turn my head not to like frantically stop the water because it is like what
you
imagine.
In the bathroom.
I'm in the bathroom.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it was, because I mean, you hear the bathwater run and it's like background noise.
But it stopped. Like, you stopped noticing it.
I stopped noticing because I was in the zone because she was trying to fight me because I was trying to like clip her. And but no harm was done to anyone. We stopped the bath water. We put some towels down. My rug took the blunt of the damage. It was like 15, 20 pounds.
The fact you were in the bathroom. Like, you were not.
Because
like,
I have my back turned because the bathtub's behind me. And I was like trimming her hair on the counter.
But I mean, the amount of space between you.
Because the bathrobe was like soaking up the water, so it wasn't like flowing through the bathroom.
Thank you, Jesus.
For bathroom. So, if our water bill's high this month, that's why. Anyways, I just thought I'd keep it real with you guys. Don't forget to not put diesel in a non-diesel vehicle. Because the Honda Accord, we've been the Honda demise. And we would have been going to get a new car. And
we would have, you know? Yeah. And like, if you would have called me and told me that, I think I would have just like...
lost it.
I don't know. Like, if I was at work and you had called me, that I'd have clocked out.
Yeah. That's it for me. That's it. I've heard enough. I've heard enough for today.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so what are we talking about today?
So, we are talking about modesty.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, what it isn't. I think, like, getting down to, like, the root of it. Why is it a thing? Why do the clothes that we wear matter? But also, the way we talk matter, or the way that we even walk or act, or like, why does it matter? And I think also in a sense of like a preparation way too. I think that like, and we don't have to get into this, but even like, we're both single and in desperate waiting for our husbands. We're not the only ones, okay? And so, but like also prepping ourselves for the one man that Jesus has.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we steward that in our lives with what's going on, where we're at right now?
Yeah.
And then also like the personal experiences that the Lord's brought us through, even in clothing and makeup and attitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, what does the Bible say about modesty?
Yeah.
I feel like Paul was really, really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, yeah. I think we should just, like, narrow down the root of modesty. What is it? And so for you, what has the Lord brought you through in finding modesty? But also, like, you know, how is that... insert, I guess, in examples like clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
What would be, like, what has the Lord taught you about that?
Yeah. I think he's highlighted the why behind it as to why am I dressing a certain way. And, you know, finding your personal style is one thing. Being one style compared to the other is not a bad thing. I believe the Lord created uniqueness and specificity to everyone. However, I believe that there are motives. I mean, we're human. We are sinful in nature. There's going to be motives that pop up. Like when we go in our closet and be like, "Ooh, I want to wear this. This is cute. Or this looks good." And there's a moment. I've discovered it more. The deeper that I've gone with the Holy Spirit and allowed Him to convict and correct, I've noticed it more as I'm getting ready in the morning for work, as I'm going to the gym, as I'm going to church. I've allowed the Holy Spirit to direct the way I dress, not based solely on, oh, what will others think of me? Because there was a time when I would only think of others' reactions when I would get dressed and be like, oh, they're going to think this looks stupid. Oh, they're going to think this looks cute, like for the affirmation of man. And being so real, that was the root of why I would get dressed or why I would put on makeup. Because there are some days where I wake up and the bags under my eyes. Because when you work so many days in a row and you are dead tired, like you don't feel tired, you look
tired. It starts to surface.
It starts to surface. And they just, it surfaces here. And there are some ones when like, oh man, if I don't cover this up, they're going to think I look unprofessional. You know, but that is such a lie. And I think professionalism is an aspect of modesty. I think you can definitely take pride in the way you look. I think you can have pride in presenting yourself as beautiful to the public eye. There's not a problem in that, I don't think necessarily. I think there's a problem when we can't find our true worth if we don't dress a certain way. Like, our true worth has to be rooted from what he says about us, and that's found
here. No, but can here. Respond to what you just said?
Though? You absolutely can.
Friend to friend. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and if people can take from it, I feel like, though, if you were serving me, whether that be in your occupation or even, like, a restaurant, whether you were wearing like concealer or not, and then also the way that you served me and the way you treated me, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even notice that.
And that's a whole different layer. I'm glad you brought that up because that's part of modesty. I feel like the way you carry it's and present yourself.
I wouldn't even like notice. Like I'm like, oh, she, you know.
And that's the thing. People probably don't. I guess.
Do people really care, though?
No.
I feel like if they do,
and that's the thing with people-pleasing is you make up these opinions about people that they've never told you, and you create a whole scenario in your head that's not even true. Yeah, it's a lie from the enemy.
Yes. Carry on what you're saying.
That's probably the word. No, very valid point. But yeah, and it's crazy how makeup is made. I believe makeup has a place. It's very, you can feel very beautiful with it, very put together. However, it's crazy that, like, an actual makeup product is called concealer, and it's made to conceal, and it is made to conceal under eyes, acne, all the things. However, it's also creating, like, this false persona.
It can.
You know?
For sure.
It can. It definitely can. And I feel like in the past it has for me. Because I've found way too much affirmation in the way I look. Even if it wasn't for someone else, but just like for myself personally and how like I wouldn't feel beautiful if I didn't put makeup on. And that's something I've had to heal with from the Lord. And he's had to walk me through. Because there were some days where I'm like, I literally can't leave the house without makeup on. And I just told the Lord, I'm like, I'm going to be honest, I can't do it today. And there are some mornings where the Lord will, this might sound silly or crazy, but there have been some mornings where the Lord's asked me like, hey, don't wear makeup today. Just like, I just want you to be yourself. Not saying that I can't be myself with makeup on, but the Lord's like, hey, I just want you to go without it today. And my obedience to that question, it doesn't matter, like, the why. And we've talked about that. The why doesn't matter, but my obedience does. And the Lord finds me beautiful regardless of what I think of myself or what others think of me, because that's the truth. Because he says in his word, you are wonderfully and beautifully made in my image. Like, God made us in his image, not in a good prideful sense, but not be like, oh, I want my children to look like me. No, in like, I want my children to look like me. Like, I want them to resemble my truth, my beauty, my holiness. And the word of God says, be holy, for I am holy. And I feel like beauty and modesty is a form of holiness. You know what I mean? And it can be resembled. The world contorts and perverts modesty in so many ways. But when we root ourselves in the true word of God and the truth that it holds, and we get the root of modesty and what it can actually look like, not just Bible belt, wear a skirt down to your ankles and long sleeves. And that's, I'm not judging against that. I'm saying, like, that's how some people see modesty in the South. But I'm saying that modesty is, it's a like a way that you carry yourself. It's a way of the heart. It's a form of holiness. What has, I mean, I know we talk about this all the time, but what has been your personal experience in your journey with modesty been, even like this year, since you've come to know the Lord? Like, how has it evolved, and how have you just, like, because I've witnessed firsthand how you just yielded to the Holy Spirit in all aspects of that.
No, but say, yeah, to you.
Yeah.
So from a really young age, I remember being, well, you know this, like 7th, 8th grade, I all of a sudden, like, just, I found makeup to be fun, but I feel like over time it became different. I think, like, literally I was waking up every single day at, like, 5:30 and doing a full face of makeup for school every single day. And it really became, like, a hiding thing for me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it was fun, and there was, like, a season where I enjoyed it and, like, whatever. I enjoyed the makeup tutorials. We all...
Yeah, because there was, like, a time, like, 2017 was big in that, yeah.
I feel like makeup and makeup tutorials just, like, flew up. Like, yeah. just went crazy. And I feel like we all kind of, like, indulged in the trend and whatever.
Because, like, being a girl, you just, like, enjoy... Well, yeah. Like, personally, like, I just enjoyed being,
yeah.
like when I was a little girl, I used to love digging in my mom's makeup, yeah. And, like, trying it on.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm not, like, saying that's, like, a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing, yeah.
But I think, well, number one, I hadn't accepted the protection of the Holy Spirit in my life at that point, even though I was really young, but, I mean, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So, over time, really quickly, actually, it became, like, a hiding thing for me. I had seen myself with makeup so much, and so much of it, that it was, like, weird to see me without it. And
yeah.
Kind of, like, gross. Like, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And so, from then on, it kind of, like, it got out of hand, to be honest. And so, I remember even up until, like, I want to say, I mean, of course, like, the makeup became less and less, but I was still wearing makeup, and I do believe the root was still there. Like, I wanted to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was scared to go out in public and, you know, look not put together. And I use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, well, I want to be put together and all this
yeah.
stuff. And I'm like, well, for some reason, I thought that was found in makeup, but it's not. And then somehow I didn't feel that much better when I had it all on. So, but up until, like, this year, I don't know, like, it wasn't something I was even praying about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I had, like, such conviction for a long time that I was literally ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, like, you know, was heavy in the gym, and I was wearing, like, leggings and maybe, like, cropped shirts or shirts that weren't, like, covering or whatever, and I would have, like, impure intentions with doing that.
Yeah, to, like, catch the attention.
Right,
yeah.
and that's just being real.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was, like, up until this year, it wasn't something I was praying about. It wasn't something that I was, like... I mean, like, me and the Lord weren't having full on meetings about this, but I feel like it's something that, as I've gotten closer to the Lord, especially
mm-hmm.
this year, I just started to, like, change. Like, it was, like, it's kind of like, I don't remember the last time I really wore makeup, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because, like, I think makeup's bad. No, I still have makeup, like, in my
it's not like we're like
cabinet.
Anti-makeup it's like
right
yeah
I it was no longer necessary for me
mm.
It just wasn't. And then also at the same time, like, I all of a sudden I mean, it was, like I said, what someone was praying about. All of a sudden, I'm, like, uncomfortable at the thought of wearing leggings. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's my conviction.
But it was your personal walk and conviction with the Lord.
The Lord convicted me of it. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, like, leggings are bad or makeup's bad. Your conviction's your own. Exactly. But the Lord had convicted me for wearing leggings. Mm-hmm. And that sounds odd.
Yeah.
But it's just true. He did. And, like, literally, I cleaned out my closet, like, a couple of weeks ago. Because one, I just had too much clothes and it was just too busy. It was too much and I didn't need all that. And I just accepted it. And then also, like, I just got rid of clothes that the Lord was like, I just don't want this. I you don't need this anymore. Like, yeah. This isn't you anymore.
It felt like overconsumption.
Right. And then also it was just like, I really wanted to embrace what the Lord was doing in my life, even in clothing and modesty. Mm. And I think, like, being obedient and just cleaning out the things that I wore before I was saved, or just, like, in places, like, I didn't need to be even at the time. It was just, like, kind of, like, embracing my freedom of just, like, change and transformation.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it was just one of those things that, like, I just did not feel the need for anymore. And also, it was just like, I always had this fear because, you know, like, I grew up, like, I didn't really grow up in church, but when we did go to churches, it was like Baptist churches. And, like, everyone was always done up. Like,
not saying Baptist is bad.
Yeah.
There's a whole different conversation for that. But saying you're saying, like, the performance of church.
Yes.
It felt like a fashion show.
Right. So this is, like I said, my own convictions. This is my story. But also, I think there's truth in it. And I want to be real about it. And I'm not calling out people. I'm calling out the enemy. Let me make that clear. I do not believe that the Lord's not going to show up for me. Or he's going to show up for the girl next to me any more or less because she's wearing a dress and wearing jeans and a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to call that out because that's something that, like, one, I think, especially in the South, we
love to wear our pearls and our Sunday best.
We do. And I wear my pearls, guys.
I love pearls.
Love them. And I'm not saying they're bad, but I am saying that if we truly, like, adjust our relationship to the Lord and the fact that, like, we have to wear a dress or we have to do a full face of makeup and all this stuff for the Lord to show up to us in a certain way or to even meet with the Lord. First of all, that's
a lie.
No. And I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I think that if the Lord can meet me in my room in my pajamas, he will meet me in the church house in jeans and a sweatshirt in the same way, if not better, whatever. Like, that's exactly. I'm just say that.
Exactly. And you can make fun of
whatever
you want, but there, okay, in the South, a big thing, because when you're little, you know, your mom, your dad, they dress you to look respectable, to look put together. Mm-hmm. I don't find an issue necessarily in that. I mean, it's good to brush your teeth, it's good to put on deodorant, brush your hair, basic hygiene. That's okay, great.
Yeah.
A+. However, we have almost been bred, and I can't speak for, like, more North and, like, the way you're raised, but, like, being raised in the South, we're bred this way. Like, it is a way of life to look this way. And, well, every Sunday, to show up with a smile on your face, regardless of how you feel. And
I just don't.
It has become church. Yeah. Has become more of a performance than it has been to seek the face of God. Mm-hmm. And when we show up for a fashion show compared to Holy Spirit, and also it highlights the fact that we should not just be showing up Sunday to encounter the Lord, but encountering the Lord every single day of the week. I mean, Sunday should be for the edification of the body. It should not just be for a celebratory meal. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, not every church, but, I mean, I grew up going to some churches where I felt that I was judged if I didn't look a certain way. And that almost I've come to the point where it almost like a righteous anger stirs. And I don't,
yes.
Like, I mean, this is what I wore to church today. And, like, I don't, I mean, I can be comfortable. I can feel good. And I can, you know, there's some days where I, like, I want to be a little bit more put together, whatever. But I also have to evaluate the root of that. That's between me and the Holy Spirit. And that's something that we work out. But going back to the point of performance, performance will drain the presence. Because where there's performance, we're missing the big picture. You know what I mean?
We're not able to, like...
Why do we have flashing lights? Why do we have fog machines? Why are we trying... What are we trying to replace? You know what I mean? And production has its place. I mean, professionalism has its place. But there's points where it's gone too far. Anyways, I wanted to... When you said about personal conviction, I couldn't remember the verse, but there in Romans 14... Okay, Romans 14, 22 through 23 says, "Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts it is condemned if he eats. But he does not eat from faith, for whatever it is not from faith is sin." Okay, let me break it down. Basically saying, to one man's conviction is another man's normal.
It's unique to that person.
It is the uniqueness in the way the Holy Spirit ministers to you and talks to you. Now, to address, a lot of people may get offended by this. But I'm going to say it anyways. I don't believe there's going to be, I'm going to say ethnicities. I don't believe there's going to be different denominations in heaven.
No.
I say I don't believe. I don't.
We will all be in agreement that day.
Why? Now, this is going to stir some religious demons, but I will. I don't believe there will be denominations, and every denomination believes differently here on earth. Why have we separated the body? Why have we created division? It doesn't make sense.
Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Like,
it does not...
There's no division, there's no denomination. We will all be in one accord, one agreement that day and from then on out.
It does not... It doesn't matter what body you belong to. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is Savior to those who will confess and believe with their heart, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that he is Lord of their life. And that is that night or day or night, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. That is the truth. And I don't understand. It hurts my brain. Where did it all go wrong?
He's the only one.
And I'm sure there's some religious person that's going to watch this, or there's some person of a different denomination that is going to disagree with me. That's okay. This is a space to have different beliefs and different, different opinions. Mm-hmm. You can have your opinion. When someone asks me what denomination I am, like, oh, are you Baptist? I just say, I love Jesus. I follow the Lord, and like you can say non-denominational, but really not a denomination.
I don't even want to add it in.
I don't even follow non-denominational because they try to create all this messed up stuff in their own whatever. But I just say I love Jesus because at the end of the day, when I stand before the throne of God, I'm not going to be like, oh, here's a line for Baptists, here's a line for Catholics, here's a line for Presbyterians.
Mm-hmm. Every tongue will confess.
Yeah. That was just a side rant. Anyways, let's get back to modesty.
No, but I think it, like, stirred up the... I feel like religion can...
Religion loves performance.
Right. Can twist the definition of modesty. I think that, like, I have so much to say.
Yeah.
But I get, like, a righteous anger from it because if... Let me just say this. Like, the other day, I was talking to my dad, and Dad was like, "You think that I could wear a hat in church?" And I was like, "Yes." And if anyone says anything about it, they can answer to me. But, like, when I said it, I was like,
personal.
Right. But I was, like, genuinely so angry and angry right now thinking yeah. about someone saying anything to my dad. If you did, trust me, like, I will, like, don't. But, like, God loves your soul. Really. Like, if you, and I'm saying that also in a general sense, you think that the Lord is going to show up for you more because the person, or than the person next to you because they're wearing a hat. You get with the Lord. I'm just going to say that because that is not right. That's not correct. It's not. That's because that would just contradict, like,
yeah.
Jesus as a whole. And, oh, let's also talk about the fact that Jesus did not appear in white robes, gold.
He did not appear as a king would be presented in that time.
Right.
But he was a king.
He didn't yeah. even have, like, this crown on. He didn't have, like, no. Like, I think that if our outward appearance mattered as much as we think or say it does, of course, like, there's lines to that. But I think that if it were to be, like, I think Jesus was full on intentional in the way that he did appear because it was, like, Jesus wasn't here to win a fashion show. Definitely not.
Mm-mm.
He was not here to flex or whatever. It wasn't about that. So it's like, if he is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Savior of the world, and appeared the way that he did, why can't I wear jeans and a sweatshirt and a hat, or anyone for that matter, and then someone wear, and like, that would put me at the end of the line,
mm-hmm.
whereas because someone else is wearing a dress.
Yeah. Also, I want to highlight, we are not saying this in a manner to disrespect the house of God.
No.
Because the house of God is holy, wherever that may be, wherever you walk into. It is holy ground, and it is to be respected. We're saying, in modesty, however that may be, sweatpants, sweatshirt. I'm not saying, like, immodest dress or something inappropriate, like revealing. We're saying that in the way we dress, covering, honoring the house of God, honoring
yeah.
the Lord in going into the church, it doesn't matter if you're wearing a dress or if you're wearing sweatpants. It's God will still encounter you if you allow him, either way.
The root of it is being so intentional.
It's with the motive.
Right, with the way that we're dressing. If you don't feel conviction for wearing makeup, okay. Like, that is completely okay. Like, I was just different, and I had a different story, mm-hmm. and that's okay. You know, we're all unique. And so, that was just based off my own personal experience, even in church as well. It's just that mindset and that belief system is just not correct. And I'm going to call it out. And it's just going to be that.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about let's talk about scripture. So 1 Peter chapter 3:3-4. This is very clear. I mean, it was very clear. I'll read it. Verse 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the focus being what we are fueling ourselves with, and that's being Jesus and the mm-hmm. Word. And that will come out we will start to dress as such. We will start to talk as such.
We will present ourselves in a way that honors the Lord, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, as we are getting closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that is such a beautiful verse because it highlights the gentleness of a spirit, but it says you don't have to be quiet. Like, gentleness and lowliness of spirit does not mean that you shut your mouth and stand in the corner. Like, if you put your head down. Is that a way it can look? Yes. But it means it's the mantle and the anointing that you carry, specifically as a female, and gently, like, you carry the spirit of gentleness. You carry the peace of the Lord. And I love in Proverbs 31, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So the Lord is highlighting in this book that there are in books across the Bible, and there's multiple verses, like the characteristics in which we should pick up and how, like, the Lord is giving us instructions. And people are like, where do I start in this journey? Like, I'm trying to be more modest, but I don't really know which direction.
Yeah.
And it is like a halo or a golden haze around this. Because God's like, my word is instruction. My word provides truth. My word provides life.
Mm-hmm.
And he will highlight to you the verses in which he wants you to hear. You can read a verse 1,000 times and then read it 1,001 and get, like, groundbreaking revelation.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the Holy Spirit that brings the revelation to our spirits. Because without it, this is just ink and paper. You know what I mean? But I, specifically to, like, we can only speak as females, the way in which we carry ourselves, people notice. And we can either use that for the good or the bad. And I definitely believe that if you are dressing for a certain way, or if you're dressing to catch the eye of someone, it's manipulation.
We become the adulterous woman.
We become the adulterous woman, and we cause others to stumble. Whether that is to compare, like, for a girl, like, oh, I look better than you, or it's to catch the attention of a guy, like, you're manipulating them. You're either causing them to stumble, or you're causing them to feel worse about themselves, and that's not biblical. You know what I mean? And we should seriously evaluate the root of comparison and why we dress in the first place.
Yeah.
Why? And it starts when you buy the clothes. It doesn't even start in the closet, because they got to get in the closet somehow.
Like, if it's in your space,
mm-hmm.
like I just said, like, I just cleaned out my closet, and it's literally so freeing.
Yeah.
So freeing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just not her anymore.
Yeah. Like, have I worn this in over a year?
Right. And what sparked it was this book I read.
Love the book.
Recently, I've actually mentioned this book, and I feel like,
the last
5 out of 10 episodes.
But it's so good.
So good.
I first heard it on Janine and Mapala's podcast.
Uh-huh.
It's like Happy and Healthy, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. I might be butchering that. But she did it, and I immediately went to Amazon because it hooked me. I immediately went to Amazon. She raved about it, and I bought it. Came in, I was finishing another book. I'm like, hey, Sarah, while I'm finishing this, I know you love to read, so here's your next read. She said, okay. And she finished it before I even finished my first book.
No, if you give me a good book, it's going down. No one talked to me for a week.
Yeah, it's getting consumed.
In the book, it was talking about what's called the ruthless elimination of hurry. Talking about, like, the busyness of the world.
Oh, yeah, that's the name of it. Sorry, we're, like, raving about this book.
The busyness of the space. And I remember, like, for some reason, this convicted me so heavy.
Mm.
And I don't know if he said it exactly like this, but it was basically summing up the chapter. Clean out your closet. You don't need all that. Mm. Clean out your space. You do not need all that.
That's good.
It's too busy. It's too much. And when he said that, it literally just, like, I don't know, it convicted me so hard. And so, and literally, like, a week later, I was literally, I think I was rotting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I just was like, felt like the Lord was like, get up. It's time to clean.
So
I literally went in my closet, grabbed trash bags.
Yes.
And we cleaned that out. Literally.
Did you go to Goodwill?
Huh?
Did you go to Goodwill or did you give? Oh, wait. No, you gave it. You donated it to somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I gave it to people who needed clothing. But, and none of the clothes were bad. I got rid of all the bad stuff like a while ago. But, like, it was just stuff, like, I just didn't need. I'm never going to wear it again. Like, it's just, I'm not going to need it.
Yeah.
And so, it was so freeing. Mm-hmm. And, anyways, yeah, but, I think of regardless clothing and makeup, my intention behind it also is just, like, I want people to see me that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to have anything to hide. No. I don't want to have, even if it's a bare face.
How you see us here is how I want to be seen everywhere in life. Or how I present myself in the secret places, how I want to present myself.
Right. Like, yeah. And another, back to the church stuff for a second. Like, I didn't get saved in church. I got saved in my room in my pajamas.
Mm.
Like, the Lord saved my life in that moment. Mm. So, it's really hard for me to believe.
That you have to look a certain way to receive salvation. That's a lie.
It does. And it's hard for me to believe. And that's other people, and people had different stories. People were saved in church and cool. And like, I'm not, you know, this is my story. But I'm just saying the Lord has, I genuinely feel like the Lord has shown up for me. Like some of my strongest and most intimate moments with the Lord, I'm literally in my pajamas, in my bed, hair not brushed.
Yep, yep, yep.
And so, therefore, I don't believe
for 1 second.
It is that important. Just don't. But, however, present yourself modestly. Modesty is still important. You know, the adulterous woman she still exists.
That spirit is very much alive.
Right. But we don't have anything to do with Jezebel.
Nope.
Get out of here. So it's, you know, and I feel like the spirit of Jezebel is running so rampant. Mm-hmm. In our generation, especially younger, we see that a lot. And then on social media.
Like they're growing. Like, people always say, oh, you've grown up so fast. But I look down at people younger than me and I'm like, when I was their age,
yes.
I didn't even know what that was.
Right.
I didn't even have a phone at that age.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's crazy the exposure that these young people are getting at such a young age.
Right.
And it breaks my heart because I feel like their innocence is just being stolen from them.
Right.
100%.
If we could talk about the preparation season of a woman who is a, you know, future wife, future mother, let's talk about, and I know we're still walking through it, Avi, but like if we, what has the Lord taught us where we are in our life right now? Like, the convictions of stewarding that right now.
I think if you wait for marriage to start presenting and stewarding yourself to be a good wife, or vice versa, to be a good husband, you've kind of got the message backwards. This, the preparation doesn't begin when you step into the promise. The preparation begins in the waiting.
It's the season before.
It's the consecration and, like, the story of Esther. She was called into, I wasn't going to share this, but I feel like the Lord highlighted it to me again. The story of Esther, if you haven't read it or read it fully through, I feel like you should go read it. It highlights how this Jewish woman was taken to become queen for this king. The king was in search, basically, the king was in search of a new queen because the old queen caught an attitude. She was kicked out stage left. We need a new queen. That's very, very brief, succinct version. That's why I say go find out for yourself because I don't want to ruin the story, but I'm about to. And and she goes through this whole beautification, refining process to prepare herself to be presented before the king. Apologies for the background noise. I believe a UPS driver has just arrived. And Both of my dogs are going
Ava's
crazy. Yeah. And anyways, so she goes through this entire, and when I first read the Book of Esther, I thought, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the background. I thought that it was like a week. Like, you think, like, oh, a pageant, you get, like, ready for a pageant, or you get ready for homecoming, or prom, yeah. or, like, a dinner, or a gala, or where, whatever it may be. Like, a week long, you get your nails done, you get your hair done, you just, you know, you have a spa day, or spa days. No, this was months and months of preparation. And in that time, they were prepared with, like, oils, and the process of, like, feeding yourself good food and to nourish yourself. Like, the anorexic, skinny model, that is
seceding.
And two, it's not healthy. Like, God created our bodies to eat.
Not to eat food.
Plentifully. No. Burger King and fast food, and he did not create us to eat all these things on a regular basis. I believe that is a Western Americanized, unfortunate aspect of this country. However, God created food to eat and eat in full. Again, sorry for the background noise. We'll try to, if you don't hear that, great. So, she goes through this whole, what I'm trying to get at the point is, she goes through this whole process of beautification and refining. And I believe that's how we can steward that in our own hearts. Is that if you are in a single season. I'm laughing at the background.
I'm so sorry, y'all. It's just the background.
If you are in a single season and you see it as a burden rather than a blessing, because I've seen it as that myself, and the Lord has had to change my perspective and heal it. Because you'll never get that time. I know you've probably heard this time and time again, but it's the truth. You'll never get that time back. It is a precious and sacred time that only you and you alone get to have with the Lord. He has you to himself, and he can always have you to himself. The Lord is almighty. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He can do whatever he pleases. However, it is a choice to yield to his presence and to lean into that relationship with him. And singleness is a gift because it highlights that he is your first love. And he is the one who ravished your heart in the first place. He is your beloved. And I believe that when we steward modesty in singleness, that it creates this, it creates a heart posture that a husband or vice versa, a wife will not complete me, because a husband will never, girls, a husband will never complete you. And I'm saying that like I'm married, which I'm not, but I know the truth, and I've heard from married couples, I've heard from engaged couples, just because you're in a relationship that will not complete you. A husband and a wife are to come together in unification together to edify one another and to become a vessel for the Lord. And in the Bible it does say, you know, a man is to leave his mother and his father and to get a wife that's beautiful. And there are some people who never marry, and they struggle with the question of, God, did you never have someone for me? And they struggle with that desire. And some people get married right off the bat when they're 20 years old, 19 years old. That's fine. I mean, to each their own, be led by the Holy Spirit. However, I believe that when you are in that season, that period of waiting with the Lord, really lean in to what he's saying. Like, God, what are you really trying to show me in this season? What are you really trying to highlight in my own heart? Are there things that need to be weeded out? Because people have this false persona about marriage that it's sunshine and roses, when it is actually laying yourself down, sacrifice, continual sacrifice, servanthood. It is humility.
It is showing up when you don't want to. Sometimes it's 50-50. Sometimes it's 100-0. And I'm saying this just from what the Lord has taught me about Himself. That when you love to learn, when you learn to love the Lord first, He becomes the prize. He becomes the lamb. Not saying, therefore, the desire of marriage goes away. However, saying He is the goal. He is eternity. You know, He changes your whole perspective when you see Him as your first love instead of, hey, God, I just visit you in the morning at night. You know what I mean? What is your perspective on singleness and your view of how you steward modesty and singleness and how you're preparing yourself for that?
Yeah. Well, I'm nowhere near perfect. I do not have it nailed down. Yeah. I struggle with this daily. I remember being, we went to a women's conference like the beginning of the year, and I remember I just like had this moment with the Lord at the altar, and I was just like, Lord, I'm really struggling. Like, I just feel like lonely, and I was really struggling in this like one area, and I literally just felt like the Lord was like, you're so worried about like me just forming this perfect man for you and all of this stuff when you have one right here that's wanting to pursue
you.
Ooh,
that's good.
And he's just like, I'm right here, and you were just not.
And you're looking straight past me.
Right, I'm just looking straight past him. And I'm thinking that it's like found in like a this emptiness, this void that I had. I'm thinking that it's only found in like a human guy, like here, like the one guy that the Lord has for me. And the Lord's like, no, kind of like what you were saying, that it will, like, being in a relationship or even in marriage will never complete me. Mm-hmm. It's only the Lord that can do that.
Yeah.
And so, I think like trying to understand in my heart, not just like in my mind, but my heart, to accept as in like marriage is just genuinely a blessing rather than like up there with like me and the Lord, you know. It's just like almost like an add-on. And trust me, like, you know, it's not easy. And I think about it every single day. And so a lot of times, even when I'm like scrolling on Instagram, I truly believe it's the enemy, just like, oh, like these people just got engaged and like they post their you know, their pictures and their videos of them like getting engaged and all this stuff.
Don't you love that?
And then I literally catch myself clicking on it. Don't know these people. Never seen them before in my life.
Yeah.
And couldn't tell you their names even now. But like, I'll click on it and I'll actually like scroll and look. And although I don't feel like it's hurting me in the moment, if I look back, I like realize like the damage of just like indulging in that. And so, I think that's where social media can become dangerous, is where we like, it's so easy to fantasize off of someone else's life.
Definitely.
And so especially
like live vicariously.
Yeah. Right. And especially when it comes to something you're truly desiring and deep, it's such a deep desire. It's a dream for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that like the enemy uses social media to pinch and poke. And so I think that's something I'm like learning right now, is to just like have self-control in that area. Because like, you know, even with social media, it's so clear, the more you click on something, the more it's going to show up.
And it's created to,
right,
to trigger like a response in your brain to watch,
right,
more.
So I think in the same way, if I'm using self-control and I'm not indulging in it, it's not going to keep showing up and attack me. I'm like, I'm literally like, I've sent it back to hell, where it belongs. And so, and I think that, like, also, even in modesty, just, like, how the Lord's convicted me recently about clothes and, like, makeup, it's, like, I would want to see my future husband, even if I didn't know him or whatever, to see me in my, like, natural state.
And, like, harping to you, it's not wrong to look or feel pretty.
No, not at all.
But let me say this. how you catch them is how you're going to have to keep them. And if you catch them with this false persona, falsies, lip injections, leggings, crop top, and you try to catch their eye, number one, is that manipulation? Two, that's how you're going to keep them. Because that is that something you're going to look like forever? No, gravity is a real thing. Your skin's going to get saggy. You're going to get wrinkles.
Like, I'm going to wrinkle. Like, my body's going to change.
The hair's going to turn gray.
I'm going to have pop out kids. Like, I am literally, my body,
it's going to change, and it's meant to. Everything's going to change. Yeah, don't believe the persona that your body's going to stay the same when it was never meant to. Like, your hips are supposed to get bigger because you're carrying a whole human life. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. That's where I would want to find, like, I want to encourage, like, even men here too. It's like, but I can only speak for women. But also, like, I would want my future husband to see me as a mother and the way that I treat my children and raise my children and carry also his children, and then also the way that I respect him and honor him and even our home, like keeping it clean and like
being able to lead
in that, even in whatever the Lord has called, you know, me and him as a couple to do. Like, I want him to see me, like, in that.
Because that's only, when y'all are dating, that's only a season.
Right.
Because that is just a preface to marriage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I want a relationship with my husband. I don't want to only be attracted to him, but I want a relationship.
There has to be a friendship.
A friendship. Yeah. Like, we're going to have to click, you know, and obviously,
duh.
But, like, you know, some of this is, like, duh, but I really think that, like, we should,
I mean, sometimes we got to get back to the basics, too.
Right, and I think that we overthink it.
I think, obviously, something's wrong in this nation if, our divorce rate's so high. Cohabitation being an issue when you're dating and sleeping, you know, sex before marriage or you name it. Things that are saved for marriage for a reason, because marriage is a covenant that you go into that. This isn't, we're not playing house, we're entering into a covenant. You know what I mean? And there has to be a marked difference or you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
And we're kind of going into a soapbox. But I want to speak on how modesty is not just the way we dress or the way we present ourselves, but the way we talk. And there's one verse I want to speak specifically. Ephesians.
Okay. 4:29.
Yes.
Through 31. Mm-hmm. 32.
You want me to read it?
You can. I read the last one. You can go.
Okay, so I'm starting verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's easier written than done, for sure, 100%. To forgive everyone you encounter, because there are definitely difficult human beings and difficult encounters that you have. It's definitely hard to avoid all consuming all things evil, because we live in an evil and a fallen world, and it's all around us, especially on social media. However, the way that we talk and the way that we posture ourselves and what we consume will be exhibited as fruit, regardless if we like it or not. We are all trees, and we all produce a type of fruit, and everybody's fruit looks different, you know? Fruit is measured by how much we are rooted and watered by the word encounter of God and the Holy Spirit.
I love how you just said that we all produce different fruit, and going back to what we said earlier, how that is such a huge reason as to why we have those unique convictions and unique tough times and trials, because it's like the Lord is like rooting a different fruit so that we're able to, you know, encourage others that are struggling or, you know, whatever, you know, to help the church. And I think, like just having a pure posture is like godly modesty.
purity in itself.
Right.
Is you don't have to look like a nun to be pure.
No.
It's not just the way you dress.
It's the way
you, it's the way you talk. It's the way you're free. Mm-hmm. And I love Mia Fields. She says this. She says, we can't judge anybody by, you know, we can't judge them by anything, but, and I'm probably miswording this a bit, but we can judge them by their fruit. And meaning that whatever the fruit they display, however they talk, however they present themselves, we can use our discernment in saying, hey, is their fruit good or bad? Because it's going to be one or the other, black or white. It's not going to be gray fruit. You know what I mean? Now people can have like, there's something off about this person. And I can't just place my finger on it. That's the Holy Spirit.
Discernment.
Even if you don't have the Holy Spirit actively living inside of you, everybody says, oh, trust your gut. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Your gut's inside of you. Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to highlight the footnotes for this verse in my Bible that says, the Holy Spirit of God should never be pushed away, ignored, or rejected. If we would remember that the One, capital O, who lives in us is God's own Spirit, capital S, we would be much more selective about what we think, read, watch, say, and do.
That's good.
I always like to think about if my thoughts and my opinions towards others, if they were put out as a megaphone and on like a big screen TV, would I be proud of them or would I be ashamed of them? And I think that's a good fact check for us to do is like, hey, are the thoughts I'm chewing on honoring the Lord or are they causing me to fall deeper in sin? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think sometimes I'm guilty of, hey, I probably wouldn't put that on a flat screen TV for everyone around me to see. And I think that's where the Lord's inviting me, like, hey, then let's heal from that. Let's repent and let's move on and, you know, let's keep growing because you're never meant to stay in that type of lifestyle. If it's separating you from the presence of God, if it's pulling you away from the heart of God, then we need to question what it's really doing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that note because it's like, one, it's literally like, gut-wrenching the conviction because when we really, really do think about, we have the Holy Spirit literally dwelling within us, making, like, I see that, like, His eyes are looking through mine, and or His ears are hearing through mine, and it's like, is what I'm listening to, like, is it grieving the Spirit, or is it uplifting Him and honoring Him? And even watching, and when I'm speaking, and like, you know, so it's like, if I balance it out, you know, like you were saying, like, you know, your thoughts and opinions and on others or just anything in general, even with ourselves, it's like, is this biblical?
Yeah.
Like, is this something that I know the Lord would sit down and tell me?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then like, we need to... Like, call that out.
We need to go back to the drawing board.
And regroup, because, like, what does the Lord say about me?
Yeah. I think that's the best question to pull from today is,
right.
What does the Lord say about me? And what He says I will abide by.
Yeah, like, what His response is, like, what I will live by and how I will carry myself.
Yeah.
I think that's really helped me. I think that has been, like, the root is, like, Lord, like, I want to see me the way You see me.
Yeah.
Even in,
that's
like...
That's hard sometimes.
It's so hard because, like, it eliminates striving and performance, and we find that fun, and we find that entertaining, fleshly, we do, and it's, like, that dopamine hit that, like, to be noticed or seen.
Absolutely.
And I'm calling this out in myself as well because I need it, but, you know, I think just, like, being honest with the Lord, like, hey, like, you know, in moments like how you were saying, like, let's not wear makeup today.
Yeah.
And it's like, to be honest with the Lord and be like, Lord, I don't feel good today. Like, I just
like
need reassurance.
Like, I don't feel pretty.
Right.
And that's just being open with the Lord. Like, the Lord already knows that's lingering in your heart. And then when you tell it to Him, He's like, okay, now we can address it.
Right. There's like a level of trust and vulnerability that he adores so much. So I think it's different when it's like, I like to think of like a relationship or like a married couple, and it's like obviously you know something's wrong with the other one, but it's different when they open up and talk to you about it, and it's like, oh, they trusted me enough.
Yeah.
And they were felt like they could be vulnerable with me. Now let's address the issue. So I like to think of it that way, and this, and the Lord is the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I think, to be honest, like, because I struggle with, like, insecurity and, like, my body.
Absolutely.
And I don't talk to the Lord about it enough. And it's, like, it's been one of those things, it's, like, as soon as I wake up, the enemy's, like, you're ugly. Like, it'll be, like, in the morning, like, as soon as I wake up, or, or throughout the day, it's just, like, you know, just taking authority and, like,
taking every thought captive.
What the Lord says.
Isn't it funny how we're the moments of, like, most joy and most closeness and intimacy with the Lord, and the moments where you feel most seen is where the enemy tries to come and attack your identity and tries to plant lies.
He's really loud in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, I would just, I don't know, we both would, encourage to, one, I think, seek our worth in the Lord. And from there, everything flows. And I think, and the Lord cherishes beauty. I mean, we see the earth, and we see everything He's created. And the way, I was reading about the building of the tabernacle, and I was like, oh my gosh, like the detail.
The detail.
So I think the Lord loves style. I think the Lord loves beauty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, what is that for me? Like, I don't want to look like everyone else, and I think that's okay.
I think that's boring.
There's no fun in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think if you feel the resistance in that, like wanting to be like everyone else, and just like almost like copying what other people are doing, let's take captive of that. Let's bring that in prayer, because that is a straight attack on your identity.
Yeah.
The enemy is saying that you are not special, you are not unique.
Yeah.
Even though he's not probably outright saying that to deceive you, but let's take captive of that, because that's not correct.
You have an originality, whoever you may be. Each and every person the Lord creates has an originality that He places within them.
Yeah.
It's like a uniqueness that each of us carry. It's our spirit. It's our anointing that we all carry. And I believe the Lord wants us each to enter into that uniqueness with Him, because it's where we feel closest to our Creator. Because in Jeremiah, it says, we are the clay, He is the potter. And a potter takes pride in his work and how he creates and molds. Mm-hmm. And he's so specific with each indention and the way he paints it and the way that it's put in the furnace to solidify. And I believe that the Lord doesn't create, you know, all of His children's are pots, you know, metaphorically. I believe He creates us all so intricately that he doesn't want us to look the same. We are made in His image, you know. We are made with pride, the good type. And I just encourage you to just explore that originality with the Lord. Don't, and it may feel awkward at first, like asking the Lord, but just be real with Him and be like, hey, how do you see me? Or what does my original self look like to you, and how have I strayed away from that? Or how can I be more like myself and not like others? Because, you know, like we said, it's boring to be like everybody else.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. I feel good. So we're just going to close out in prayer and just bless you guys. Bless even the space and, yeah, we will continue on.
Yeah.
Jesus, we thank you for this place. I thank you for every listener, every watcher. Father, I pray that you would steward our hearts in this area. Father, I pray that you would teach us what modesty is to our own uniqueness and our own design that you created us to be. Lord, we thank you so much that you have you have given us this freedom and modesty, that when we embrace freedom and when we embrace the conviction that you've given to us in modesty and the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we talk, walk, dress, when we are getting ready in the mornings, even when we're going to bed, Lord, that everything is purely intentional. And Father, I pray that you would just begin to catch us in those moments so that you're able to purify our hearts in that area. Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us this correction to be able to prepare ourselves for better, to prepare ourselves for the body of Christ and in the church. Lord, I pray that there is a peace and a covering over those who are experiencing that. And Father, I pray that we begin to open our hearts more to you about even our style or in the way that we talk and even just capturing our own identity that you've uniquely designed in each one of us. I pray that we begin to just grab a hold of that and grip that and just find freedom in that. And just we just speak against the confusion of identity. Mm-hmm. We just speak against just the adulterous woman. We speak against Jezebel. We just speak against this the spirit of performance and the spirit of anxiety. And we just speak against it. We just send it straight back to hell in Jesus' name. And Lord, that your children will begin to grip their identity that you have written out, you have designed. Your word said that you knitted us in our mother's womb, Lord, that there was detail. It was precise. It was with intention. And Father, I pray that we grip that in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you so much for this space. I thank you that we're able to have a platform to speak truth and to carry it and to even learn from it, but also teach. Father, I thank you for the experiences that we've gone through, what you've taught us so far, what you're going to bring us through and teach us, Lord. I thank you so much for every listener and watcher here, Father. I pray you bless them, Lord, you keep them, and we just walk through this narrow road together. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you. We love you. And